Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, two political dynasties need to fall. One will likely fall in hours. One, hopefully in November. Murkowski and Cheney are up for referendum. We have a live reporter from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Kelly Tishbaka joins us from Alaska. And also Doug Mastriano from Pennsylvania in an action-packed episode. Support our show, charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Check it out right now, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There have been a couple families that have ruled American Republican politics over the last couple decades. The Bush family, the McCains, the Rockefellers, the Romneys, and the Cheneys. They all get along very well, and there's pockets of this country. Teton County, Wyoming, otherwise known as Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Kennebunkport, Maine, that just seem to be dominated by that type of Republican, Aspen, Colorado being another place as well. Well, the McCain establishment in Arizona suffered a major loss 2 weeks ago. It is hard to see how they'll ever be able to get back to political relevancy in Arizona, top and bottom, all throughout the ballot. The Bushes have suffered loss after loss. Ken Paxton soundly defeated Bush in the attorney general primary race. And tonight, you very well might see the end of a political dynasty as far as elected office goes until she runs for Congress in Virginia, which is really her home seat, which I think she'll do very soon. Liz Cheney running in a primary in Wyoming against Harriet Hageman. One of the most important races of 2022 until the midterms is happening tonight. If you live in Wyoming, you need to vote, period. We need to send a massive message that we no longer have multi-generational, dynastic, corrupt families that invade countries unnecessarily, do crony deals with the military-industrial complex, abuse government power, and protect the uniparty. It's happening right now in Wyoming. With us right now is Ben Berquam, an amazing American patriot. He's live in Wyoming to give us the latest on the ground in Wyoming. Ben, welcome to the program. What's the vibe on the ground? What's going on in Wyoming?
Hey, Charlie. The energy is high. You know, for a state that doesn't have that many voters compared to a lot of other states across the country, the turnout that I'm seeing, I'm at the second polling location I've been at so far today, turnout is huge. And the story of the day is how many Democrats are going to switch and vote in Republican, get a Republican ballot in order to support Liz Cheney. So that's what we're seeing everywhere we go. I've been interviewing folks. As far as the kind of straw poll, they're coming out, I'd still say it's about 3-1, the folks that are willing to go on and talk about it that are voting for Harris. Hageman, but there are an awful lot of Democrats. I'm speaking to some of the poll workers that are here saying that's the story. There are a lot of Democrats coming in to vote, and you can just see the amount of people behind us. They actually let us into the polling place. I'm going to actually walk and talk,
sure.
And we're going to go out and I'll show you the line as we go outside of the building here. But that's the story, is how many MAGA Republicans are going to show up and vote, and how many of the Democrats are going to switch their party affiliation.
Yeah, Wyoming is a very interesting state. It is super conservative. However, they have Democrats that run as Republicans. Now, you are in Cheyenne, which is one of the more liberal parts of Wyoming, in more ways than one. You know, that the more rural parts of Wyoming, Liz Cheney is just going to get completely and totally clobbered. And so, wow, that's an incredible line right there. That's a primary line right there. So Ben, what are you looking to reiterate for our audience that can't see that line? Is that usual for an August primary, or is this higher than normal turnout?
Yeah, definitely higher than normal, the turnout. And even compared to what we saw in Arizona, you rarely see lines out the door in a primary, much less a midterm primary. So there is high energy. And speaking to folks, I was asking them why, and we're kind of getting conflicting information about that, whether it's Democrats that are coming out and switching their party affiliation to vote for Cheney, or if it's Republicans that are so fed up with Cheney. And we've got a lot of Republicans saying that they were fed up with what's happened to President Trump with the raid in Mar-a-Lago. And so you're getting kind of both dynamics here in a state that oftentimes was considered flyover, has significant implications for the rest of the country, as you've mentioned, with what's going on with the January 6th subcommittee and all of the other nonsense that's coming out of Washington. Yes. And the implications for MAGA movement as a whole. If Cheney loses, this is a huge victory, not just for Hegeman, but for President Trump.
Yeah, so just that's really interesting. Again, the Cheneys have kind of ruled Wyoming for quite a while. This would be a major repudiation of a dynasty that was largely unquestioned for years. This would be an example of the people taking back power from something that could only be described as an oligarchy. Are you getting that kind of vibe or that kind of language on the ground?
Absolutely. The folks that we're talking to that are Republicans, basically the sense is that Cheney is not does not represent Wyoming anymore. And as you mentioned, she may end up running in Virginia at some point. And that's the sense here, that from the Republican voters that I've interviewed, they feel like Cheney isn't even from Wyoming, doesn't represent Wyoming at all. So absolutely, this would be a repudiation. They basically see her as somebody that comes out to vacation and take advantage of them, but doesn't do anything to actually help the state of Wyoming.
Ben, I just have to remark, that's an unbelievable line. I mean, this again, we're for those of you on radio, this is an August primary, and a crazy line. So what polling place, is this a central polling place? Is this one of many? I mean, I can't believe, this is a general election line, is what it looks like. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, this is one of five or six in town. We were just at another location, didn't have quite the line. It was a little further out of town, a park. This is a gym in town. But again, this is just one of several locations. And in speaking to folks here, this is uncommon for a primary, much less a midterm primary. So without question, there is high energy here. And the big question is, where does that energy end up falling on the political spectrum? We'll find that out tonight. I think based on the polls that we've seen, Hegeman is way ahead. It's just how many Democrats are coming out and how many of the MAGA voters are coming out to vote today. Today is, it's all there. The numbers we're seeing, again, and the folks that we're interviewing as they come out, when they come out as Republicans, it's still about 3-1 Hegeman over Cheney. And how many Democrats are swapping.
But again, you're in a kind of a suburb of Denver almost, is Cheyenne, right? I mean, it's not the most conservative part of the state. Laramie's also pretty liberal. But as you start to get out to Cody and you get out to Gillette and you get out to kind of the rural areas, it's going to be 80%, 90% in favor of Hegeman.
Right.
Ben, thank you so much. Right. Great coverage as always. Great job.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely.
I want to play cut 52 here. This is CNN. I think it's John Kasich. Man, I haven't talked about John Kasich in a while. You know, whenever he talks, he looks like he's chopping lettuce. Do you notice that? He's the lettuce man. Cut 52. Of course he's on CNN talking about how Liz Cheney is going nowhere. Yeah, sure. Play cut 52.
Even if she loses this election, which she's expected to do, she's not just going to fade away. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for Liz Cheney. But I'll bet at the end of the day, she wouldn't trade what she has done for all the elections in the world, because it's her conscience that's driving her. And look, in politics, then you're out of it. What are you remembered for? There's so many people who are in politics. You ask them what they did, they don't have a very good answer. We'll always remember what she's done, and she's inspired a lot of people.
You know what I find so funny? And we're actually going to get to that in just a second here. I think we have time in the next segment before Doug Mastriano. We have Doug Mastriano, by the way, joining us later this hour. Is they always attack us as being anti-democracy and kind of anti-democrat process. And I always love when they say, Well, even if you know, even if the voters reject her, you know, the other side, they're really against democracy. Really? I was quoted in the New York Times, and the head of line of the article, the New York Times had anti-democracy forces taking over Arizona. And you read my quote in the article, because some reporter, some snake, came into one of our events, even though he wasn't invited. He quoted me perfectly, though. I have to say, he did a very good job of that, which I do appreciate. If you're going to deceitfully sneak into one of my events, the least I can ask is that you're going to quote me correctly. He says, and Charlie Kirk says, we're just going to have to defeat you and get more votes than you. How is that anti-democratic exactly? There's this article here in MSNBC. Arizona Republicans are making a case against the idea of democracy itself. Now, do you notice they never actually define the term democracy? Ever? Now, they get really worried when all of a sudden people like myself, because I'm quoted in this article, we come out and say that America is not a democracy, we are a republic. They start to lose their mind. They say, how dare you say something like that? Well, it's factually true. We are a republic. A republic, by definition, is opposed to rule by a single person. Republics are slow and they're intentional. And you do vote in a republic, obviously. You do so through representative democracy. So that might be where they're getting some of the term democracy, but we are not a pure democracy. In a republic, for example, you have some stated truths that have been agreed upon by the vast majority of the population and the sovereign, the states and the people, and they're very hard to get rid of. This is one of the defining characteristics of a republic. For example, just because 51% of Americans might want to get rid of freedom of speech does not mean freedom of speech disappears. It is not an up or down vote. Your rights are not up for a up or down vote just based on 51%. Now, if you want to add to amendments or you want to clarify them, it's a long, drawn out, multidimensional process of state certification and Congress, multiple branches of government. In a democracy, it's let's get everyone in the room, let's vote for it, and then we go forward. Arizona Republicans are making a case against the idea of democracy itself by Zashin Alim. Yeah, I got to listen to Zashin Alim about what American democracy is. Like, how about you sit this one out, pal? I mean, this is one of the most incoherent articles I've ever read, MSNBC. As Thomas, this is what he says here. He says, they quote me, by the way, Charlie Kirk said, just a fact check, we don't have a democracy. We are a republic. So then he says, in other words, in heart of one of the most energetic hotbeds of Trumpist Republican activity, the claim that U.S. is a republic instead of democracy is becoming a common mantra. But the narrative involves a rhetorical sleight of hand to cloak an extremist agenda of minority rule in the guise of fulfilling what the founders wanted. Okay, so there is something true about this. Republic-style governments or small-r Republican-style governments do protect the rights of the minority. That is true. Why is that all of a sudden a bad thing, according to MSNBC? I thought it's all about protecting minority rights. Okay, so now we want to continue to protect the rights of a minority, and we're the ones that are anti-democracy? As scholar George Thomas of Claremont McKenna College has pointed out, the founding generation did describe the American experiment as a republic, a form of government in which it was ruled by representatives of the citizen body, but didn't see it at odds with or mutually exclusive from democracy. The founders were opposed to direct democracy, obviously. And then this woman, this New York Times columnist, or man, I don't know, Jamel Bowie, said there's really no difference in present between a republic and a democracy. Yes, there is. Bernie Sanders and AOC and Elizabeth Warren, they want you to be able to vote yourself free stuff. We think that's very dangerous. That is a fundamental difference between a republic and a democracy. The agenda of the Arizona Republicans, MSNBC says, is to create a mutually exclusive dichotomy between democracy and republic, and that use of that dichotomy is to serve the right's political goals. What political goals are that? What is this guy's name again? Zashin Alim? What goals are that? Separation of powers? Yeah, that's a goal. How about consent to the governed? That's a goal. Checks and balances? That's a goal. Independent judiciary? Those four things are all characteristics of a republic, not necessarily of a democracy. a democracy, you get these failed Western European states where just by up or down vote, you can smash the minority, you could take people's rights away, and vote yourself free stuff. Here's a newsflash for the media, is that European Western-style democracy is unsustainable. It's not sustainable. A constitutional republic with representative democracy built into it is. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true story of Black America. Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to the current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone. With Brandon Tatum, Vodi Bakum, and Chad O. Jackson. Pre-order it today at salemnow.com, watch the movie on demand, or buy the DVD on Friday, August 26th at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. One of the most important races in the country is the governor's race in Pennsylvania. The National Republican establishment groups have refused to offer any sort of financial or otherwise support of Doug Mastriano. They're leaving him all alone on an island. So we got to do whatever we can to help him, and he joins us right now. Doug, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, it's great to be back, and I look forward to seeing you on Friday. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to make it, but I know our team's going to be there. It's going to be incredible. So, Doug, tell us about your race. How's it going? And also talk about how some of the Republican establishment is not exactly supporting you.
Well, we had a tough primary. We had nine people on the ballot, as you know, and it was the first time in 44 years that the state party did not endorse. So it was one of the most contested and heated primaries in recent history in Pennsylvania. Back then in 1978, the last time they didn't endorse, Dick Thornburg won with 33% of the vote. Charlie, I was outspent 16-1. I heard Carrie Lake said 10-1 in her race, 16-1. A good chunk of that by other Republicans, about 6 million or so, were in attack pieces against me. So had a bloody primary, but still came out with almost half the vote. The next guy behind me was 22 points behind. So, you know, as you rightly said with your interview in Arizona down there, is you know, in the old days, you know, money seemed to have the greatest influence on races. Not anymore. The grassroots is fired up. We're watching what's happening with Donald Trump. We're watching, you know, the old dinosaur career politician types just kind of like fading away. And it's a new day.
You're running up against a total radical. He's very dishonest and very dangerous. Shapiro, his name is Josh Shapiro. He's the current attorney general of Pennsylvania. If I'm not mistaken, he also was very involved in the 2020 election in changing rules or measures or something, if my memory serves me correctly. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, his greatest contribution, of course, was right before the election happened. He said, you know, when all the votes are counted, he was predicting, not predicting, he was saying Biden's going to win.
That's right. I do remember that. That was right. Yes.
For the senior law enforcement official of the state to come out and say that, it just raised a lot of eyebrows. So, you know, Charlie, he's got nothing in. I don't do talking points. I'm a retired Army colonel. I just lay it out there. And he's got nothing to run on. He's been 6 years as the attorney general on his watch. Crime has gone up 37%.
Yep.
Fact. On his watch, murders have doubled in the state, especially Philadelphia, which is a terrible – it should be a great place to go, but it's just ridden with crime.
It used to be a great city. It's a disaster now.
And it needs
now.
To be.
Yeah.
It's the birthplace of our country, as everyone knows, and it should be the gem on the Delaware. And now it's become, you know, a place ridden with crime. We're eighth overall in overdose deaths, fourth in fentanyl deaths, and this guy's a failure. So, Charlie, since he can't run on his record, just like the Biden administration, you know, he's got to call people names. Oh, racist, you know, bigot, you know, instead of having a record to run on. This guy is just ridiculous. You know, he's over the top. He's flush with money, you know, from you know, various sources, including, you know, the Soros foundations around there. And people need to start asking questions. Do you want to have continued failed policies like Wolf and Biden, or do you want to have a new day in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and you're one of the most smeared candidates in the country right now. And, you know, they're coming after you in every possible way. And Shapiro, he can't run on a record. He is just trying to engage in the same sort of attacks of, oh, he's racist, he's terrible. But the state of Pennsylvania is in real trouble in more ways than one. Talk about your plan. Talk about how your issues are actually appealing to a vast majority of the voters in Pennsylvania.
And that's just it. You know, we astounded the establishment in the primary. We have a very broad appeal. We're making serious gains in the Latino population right now because, you know, Democrat parties go so radical. You know, the Rust Belt, you know, working class trade union types, they're completely on our side here. Maybe not their union bosses, but the rank and file, they believe the same things we do. You know, the appeal is getting us back to basics here. We had one of the heaviest handed rulers in the form of Governor Wolf, and never, Charlie, was a governor more appropriately named, Tom Wolf, during COVID. He was extremely heavy handed. He was under him, you know, the famous Dr. Levine sent the sick back into homes, the first state to do that, killing thousands and no accountability. Levine gets promoted, you know, and this, all this ridiculous nonsense. And so on day one, we're going to roll back all these restrictions on our energy sector, because I'll inherit, of course, a very sluggish economy in a recession 6 months into it, I'm sure. And so we my goal is to make us the Florida of the North. And how we do that, we have the potential because God has blessed us with centuries of natural resources on our feet for energy. And so on the first day, I'm going to get us out of this scheme that Tom Wolf put us into called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, REGGIE, which is a carbon emissions tax, which has jacked up our costs across the state by 40% already and really not fully in it yet. And so on day one, we're going to be out by executive order. On day one, CRT is done. So teaching, whatever they're calling it today. I know they have new names for
social emotional theory. Learning and all that crap.
Yeah, it's all done. And if you defy my orders, you know, you'll find your school being losing funding and unable to sustain itself. On day one, we're going to bring common sense back. No more mandates, no more jab for jobs. Anybody who lost a job, you know, under my authority as a governor, such as in the National Guard, Air Guard, or in the various directorates or state police who lost their job because they wanted to have a choice over what went in their body regarding the jab, mm-hmm. the COVID vaccine, they'll be welcome back. On day one, no more guys on the girls' teams. We're going to follow the science. I mean, these common sense policies, we're going to be fighting like hell for school choice. We're going to unleash our energy sector here, which is really the hope for the nation.
Yeah, and so, there's so many different kind of regions of, you know, Pennsylvania. You have the Philly suburbs, you have downtown Philly, you have central Pennsylvania, which has become very conservative. Can you talk about the transformation of central Pennsylvania into a very, very red portion of Pennsylvania? It's changed Pennsylvania politics almost.
Yeah, the Democrats, Charlie, just 2 years ago had a 2 million advantage in registered voters on their side over Republicans. Now it's down to about 400 and some thousand.
Wow.
And what has happened is the Democrats are their own worst enemy. You know, back when I was first stationed with the 2nd Cavalry during the Cold War in the 80s in Nuremberg, Germany, we had a mirror before you go to the parade field for inspection, and somebody put a sticker on it, know your enemy. You know, in that case, the Democrats are their own worst enemy. They've gone so extreme on so many policies, you know, deeming parents as domestic terrorists because they have a strong opinion on something, defending, you know, pornography and sex acts being taught in school, defending, this is the Democrats, defending, you know, gender confusion of kids between 5 and 10 years old. And they left a party behind. So what has happened in counties in the center part of the state and elsewhere that used to be reliably Democrat because of, you know, traditional Democrats, you know, like many of my relatives on the Italian side, the party's left them behind. And so many have flipped to independent and much more gone Republican.
Yeah, and it's just been a total and complete transformation. So what is your greatest need right now to the election? I mean, we're 45 days out from ballots. I mean, it's happening very quickly. What is your greatest need?
It's money. It's resources. You know, as you know, Josh Shapiro is extremely well-funded. The Democrats are very shrewd. They do see Pennsylvania as a keystone state, which we are. And I do believe if we get it right on November 8th, which we will, we could turn the tide of the country. And that's just not hyperbole, you know, or somebody who really believes in their state. I do believe, since Pennsylvania is rooted so much in our history, you know, the frame of government that we had in 1787 during the Constitutional Convention came from William Penn in 1682 when he founded the colony of Pennsylvania. And so, of course, we have the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Gettysburg, a new birth of freedom, even 9/11, Flight 93 out west in Somerset yep. County. And so I ask people to please donate and be generous, because this if we get it right, we could turn the tide in our country.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questions about the kind of tension between the states and the federal government and kind of balancing that. You know, Pennsylvania is kind of just been all along with the Biden regime. Biden pretends he's from Pennsylvania. It's a total joke. And yet, you know, people in Pennsylvania are suffering. You know, what issues in particular are you willing to stand up to Joe Biden on as governor of Pennsylvania?
Any of this, the constitutional rights that are delineated, you know, obviously, if he's going to send his guns into our towns here to take away people's Second Amendments. I actually, Charlie, much of what I'm saying, since I'm a senator, I actually have legislation here that would prevent the state government and state agencies from cooperating with the federal government. So we need to draw a line. You know, it's that shutdown 2 years ago was very eye opening. It showed us how important a governor is. And we had governors like in Pennsylvania and California, New York, wielding their power for evil and for bad and for oppression and stripping of our rights. And meanwhile, you know, South Dakota and especially Florida and Texas, you know, they showed us what a governor can do standing in the way of federal overreach. And so my goal is basically to restore the freedom. So defend your rights to speak your mind, that you won't be a domestic terrorist nor targeted by law enforcement because you have a strong opinion. As we saw in Loudoun County, when a dad of a young lady that was raped, the school board covered it up and he was hauled out and arrested. Are you freaking kidding me? That'll never happen. You know, and one other thing here, you know, in this culture that Wolf and Shapiro have created in Pennsylvania, they've demonized our law enforcement officials. So obviously I'll have their backs. But the whole goal here is to borrow from Reagan, you know, get the government off our backs and out of our wallets. So that's how we start with that. My first 100 days is to strip Pennsylvania of state regulations. We're one of the heaviest regulated states in the nation. We have 153,000 regulations that cost us everything. My goal is the first 100 days to get underneath 100,000, and then I'll be signing that piece of legislation into law, inspired by Donald Trump, but it does exist in our state house and Senate, that every new regulation too have to go away. So in every regard, I'll be pushing back the bureaucracy and putting the power back in people's hands.
And final question, how are you going to, I mean, again, it's difficult where you are right now, push back against the ballot laundering and all this nonsense in downtown Philly? I worry the people are with you, but it's just so screwy in downtown Philadelphia, really quick.
Yeah, the bottom line is accountability and transparency. You know, Wolf vetoed legislation I had to shore that up just like hours away from becoming a law. And so we need 20,000 sets of eyes, you know, two people in every polling station in the state there for accountability. And that's how we get control of this ridiculous system that we're in. That you know, Josh Shapiro is part of. Josh Shapiro is part of this scheme here of undermining our elections. He sued to keep businesses shut down. He sued to keep kids masked up. You know, Philadelphia is back in masks now too. Next week, I mean, this is insane.
Doug, I want to plug your website, DougNumber4Gov.com. DougNumber4Gov.com. You are challenging Josh Shapiro to some debates. Tell us about that.
Yes, and obviously we don't want this to be how it's gone for Republicans, where you're debating both the moderator, who tends to be a liberal sympathetic to the Democrat candidate, and the candidate. And so we're offering Josh Shapiro this great opportunity here that he picks a location and hosts a debate, and that we each pick our own moderators. So you have two moderators, and then I'll pick one. 90-minute debates, two of them in October. We'll see if he's willing to, has the courage to actually have a fair debate, because obviously there's a lot of folks in the media that are like pom-pom girls for him. I mean, the pieces they write about him, glowing reviews, and Mastriano, you know, this terrible person. And so he's not going to agree to it, though. The guy's a coward. He hides behind a lifetime of politics. He has visions of grandeur for himself.
And he's done such damage to Pennsylvania, rising crime. He's such a snake. Doug, I'm going to play a piece of tape here of another Pennsylvanian, Scott Perry, who had his cell phone taken by the FBI. I want your reaction to this. Play cut six.
But Maria, what I think this is about is intimidating anyone who refuses to bend the knee to the narrative. Whether it's Scott Perry, whether it's President Trump, and with passing a bill that will pay for hiring of 87,000 IRS agents, tyranny is going to come right into everyone's living room very, very shortly.
Doug, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's disgusting to me. It's massive overreach. That combined with what happened in Mar-a-Lago a couple days ago. I mean, I fear for my country.
Yeah, I mean, this is happening at a record rate and level. They're trying to target you as well. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Got a subpoena this past March, you know, supplied that, you know, I have, Charlie, I was a committee chair, and I can't imagine that I would get away with being able to kick off the Democrat members of the committee that I didn't like and bringing on compliant ones, as the committee's done with the January 6th in the House. But nobody in the media gives a crap because it advances their agenda and their talking points. And so, you know, despite my misgivings, I provided the documents they asked for. And then, of course, they had me to set up for an interview, a compelled interview, by the way, which I'm not sure that's even legal with legislative privilege, but okay, I sat in it, and all I asked, Charlie, since they're using it, releasing tidbits to make people look disloyal and make people look like clowns and to influence the midterms, all we asked is that we record it. And should they release anything out of context, we would have a recording of what was actually said in context. And these people on the committee are so insistent that I could not do that. And now I have to bring them to court and sue them. So we're going to bring them to court and we're going to win, because even CNN said that was a reasonable request by Mastriano.
So one of the reasons why I think you're going to win, Doug, and one of the reasons why I think that Josh Shapiro's in trouble is, in the break, I went to Josh Shapiro's website, and he's really disguising himself as a moderate. Now, that might seem as if, he's a deceitful snake, all that stuff. But I think he knows the electorate in Pennsylvania has changed, that he has to try to win over traditional Republicans. You know, they say his vision for Pennsylvania, this is what Shapiro says: rising costs, a changing economy, unprecedented attacks on our democracy. Yeah, right. On civil rights and on the right to choose, and a government that often just doesn't work quick enough. I'm sorry, Josh, what party's been in charge of Harrisburg for all these years? And so his website, you know, is written deceptively, of course. But, Doug, isn't there something to that? That, I mean, this guy, he looks totally weak versus you. He actually led people into war. I don't know what this guy's ever led people into except chaos. But there's something about Pennsylvania where you have a little bit of an independent streak in you guys, don't you?
We do. Many people have registered independent, and that's really where this race is going to be won, Charlie, is with the independents. And one of the last polls that we did had independents breaking for me 60%. And that's after coming out of a brutal primary where I was, you know, assailed by the, you know, more liberal moderates of my own party with, you know, many millions of dollars spent hitting me. And we bounced out of that. And the polls had me, you know, within either statistical dead heat, even one poll a few weeks ago had me 2 points ahead. That's not bad, just really starting off this race here in a general election. And so he has a record to run on, Josh Shapiro, my opponent, but he can't run on it since he's failed. And as I mentioned before, he's the senior law enforcement official of the state. And on his watch, things have gone sour. Crime is through the roof. Deaths are, you know, through the roof. And the guy has to distract. So he has to pretend all of a sudden magically he's become a moderate. This guy's no moderate. I mean, he's so bigoted. Think about this. He did not tolerate the religious views of the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yes.
And he took those nuns all the way to the Supreme Court, spending millions of Pennsylvania tax dollars, and he lost. But that's how radical this guy is.
This guy
either
is
you agree with him or
you go to his website. He's so artificial. It's so synthetic. He's totally propped up by special interests. Okay, the website, it's a little goofy, everybody. It's Doug4gov.com. That is Doug number, yeah, okay, yeah, people can see it. Doug4gov.com. Doug's a fighter. The Republican establishment, I'm not going to say this on air. I know way too much. I learned a lot in the last couple of days. But there have been all clear orders at the top levels of some Republican establishment groups saying do not support Mastriano. That's all I'm going to say. So just help him out. Doug4gov.com. And then also we have coming up in just a couple days, our event with Ron DeSantis and Doug Mastriano in Pittsburgh. Ron DeSantis and Doug Mastriano in Wyndham Grand Pittsburgh downtown, Unite and Win Rally. Let's show our support, everybody. Josh Shapiro, he can't have anybody show up. Let's support Doug Mastriano, Doug4gov.com. Again, the details for our event will be at tpaction.com. Doug, great job. Keep fighting. Don't believe the polls. I think you can win this thing. Thank you so much.
We're going to win it. Thank you, brother. God bless.
Thanks. It's one of my favorite places in the world. If you have never been to Alaska, I'm telling you, you are missing out. It's unlike any other place on the planet. Look, I love Colorado. I love Montana. Alaska is a totally different beast. And it has phenomenal people, tough people. They love the country, they love liberty, they love the Lord, and I've been so disappointed and let down in how Alaska has been represented by Lisa Murkowski. So we have the ability to defeat the Cheney dynasty today. And today the Murkowski dynasty will not be defeated, but we'll have better idea of exactly who will the final runnings be in the attempt to try and defeat Lisa Murkowski. It's a very complicated situation happening right now in Alaska. And the candidate that we are behind, one of my favorite candidates in the country, who hopefully will be the next senator for the great state of Alaska, is Kelly Shabaka. Kelly for AK.com is her website. Kelly, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
I'm so happy to be with you, Charlie. Thank you so much for having me. And you totally nailed the last name. The force is with us.
Okay, good. I was nervous about that for the last couple hours. So, Kelly, tell me about your race. It's very complicated with ranked choice voting and kind of the current situation at hand. What race are you basically in right now? Is it ranked choice voting? Is it not? Explain to our listeners.
Well, I think the most interesting thing to know is Project Veritas has exposed that Murkowski colluded with her campaign staff to deceive Alaskans in order to manipulate this re-engineered election system so she would have some kind of a fighting chance to keep her Senate seat. This is the first time we're going through this election process. If we had a straight up fair election, she would be retiring today. She'd have no chance of getting through a party primary. But with this new election system, this is how it works. Today, all candidates, regardless of party, are going forward through the, quote, primary process. It's basically a filtering. There's about 20 candidates for the U.S. Senate position, all parties, and the four candidates who get the most votes will move through this process to the general election. I expect it will be me, Murkowski, the strongly funded Democrat position, and then a fourth candidate. I don't know who that'll be. We'll go to the November election. And then again, all voters will come in and they'll get to vote. They get to vote for all four candidates or just one candidate, an option of ranking. So you put the candidate that you want for your number one. And then if you want to, you can pick your backup candidate as number two. And then your backup candidate is number three. You can do that up to four times. If one candidate gets more than 50% of the votes, that candidate wins on round one. That is possible in Alaska. Historically, 54% of Alaskans vote for the Republican candidate. And I am the only candidate on the ballot that's raised more than $50,000 to the right of Murkowski. And we are in the millions of dollars raised. And so it's looking good that we're going to win this race, especially with the endorsement of the Alaska Republican Party and President Trump. And then if someone doesn't get 50% on round one, the fourth candidate drops off the ballot. The people who are ranked 2, 3, and 4 under the fourth candidate, their votes get reallocated to the top three. Then the third candidate drops off the ballot. Their votes for second, third, and fourth place get reallocated to the top two candidates. And it essentially becomes a runoff between those top two. And I expect, though I don't know, it'll be a runoff between me and Murkowski, who gets the most votes. Now, fortunately, Lisa Murkowski is only planning on picking up a lot of Democrat votes. Most Republicans have completely turned against her. She has to claw her way to the top with a smattering of second, third, and fourth place votes. When she's done things like lost her NRA endorsement, she's voted both for and against abortion, so nobody on either side of those issues trusts her. And she's voting 70% or more of the time with Joe Biden, who has just pursued an energy-annihilating agenda against Alaska, killing our jobs and crushing our families and driving up inflation, making it really hard to live here.
That was one of the most confusing things I've ever heard in my entire life. And you did a wonderful job walking us through it. Who designed this exactly? March Madness makes more sense than this. This is insane.
You're absolutely right. I could design a flow chart and I try and explain it to people with objects on a table, makes it a little bit easier, but it was absolutely designed by the political consultants who work for Lisa Murkowski's campaign. And these undercover videos from Project Veritas show Lisa Murkowski completely knew about it and was behind it because this is the only way she can hope to maintain her 41-year Murkowski monarchy. The Murkowskis passed down our Senate seat like a birthright. She was actually appointed to her Senate seat by her father when he was elected governor. She was never originally elected to this seat, and she's never had 50% or more of the vote in Alaska, which means that even when she was popular, most of Alaska has never liked Lisa Murkowski. But this year, she's very unpopular, which is why I'm confident we're going to win this election. We just need to fund the race.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I think they put forward ranked choice voting is that the second place person tends to actually benefit from this. And so this is not what's happening today. I think you'll be fine. I think you're going to easily advance into the November runoff. Is that what they call it? Or a November general? Or the language is so confusing. Are you going to tell voters just to vote for you and not have a second choice pick? Is that the smart thing to do?
That is absolutely the smart thing to do, mostly because it keeps it simple. We want to make sure that we don't accidentally suppress voter turnout, because just like you said, Charlie, the system's so confusing and people already have a little bit of a mistrust of elections because of what happened in 2020. This makes it even worse. We want as much of a voter turnout as possible. Remember, this Senate seat often is the deciding or tie-breaking vote that determines the outcome of the nation. How many times do we wake up and go, I wonder how Lisa Murkowski is going to vote today? And this year, this Senate seat comes down to 1,000 or so votes, couple thousand votes in Alaska. Remember, the Republican primary in Pennsylvania, with over 1 million people voting, came down to less than 1,000 votes. We're expecting maybe 280,000 people voting in Alaska.
In the general, I'm sorry, in the general in November?
Yes,
that's
absolutely
extraordinary.
It is, and it will decide whether or not Lisa Murkowski maintains this seat, which is the decision vote for many of the radical nominees or the legislation that happens that determines the outcome of the nation. And so Alaskans have a lot of power this year, and we want to make sure that there's not a bunch of people who stay home just because they don't trust ranked choice voting. So if you want to keep it simple, vote for Kelly number one in November and just leave the rest of your ballot blank. It doesn't invalidate your ballot. Your vote won't get thrown out. Funny business won't happen. It's just the most simple way to get as many people to turn out as possible.
This is crazy. And so just really quick, there is kind of a concern, though, among some people that aren't big Murkowski fans, and I know them, and they don't like Murkowski, that the Republicans are going to divide themselves and that the Democrat will win because Alaska has some Democrat sympathies. Is there any truth to that? What is your opinion of that?
That is just not reflected in the data at all. I've heard some whispers of concerns about that. But you got to remember, in Alaska, Democrat is essentially a bad word, which is why Lisa Murkowski won't call herself a Democrat, even though she votes like a Democrat, is funded by Democrats, and is endorsed by Democrat. She can't call herself a Democrat because we are a state that voted for President Trump by double digits twice. And nobody has made more President Trump fans than Joe Biden. So I'm sure that we're going to have even stronger representation for common sense conservative values this year. I don't think that our Democrats are going to pick up a whole lot of votes and enthusiasm this year. We can see in the data that most Republicans, like 90% plus, have left Murkowski and are not going back no matter what they do. We're not splitting that vote. The real question is, how many of the Democrats are really going to line up behind Lisa Murkowski when she's voted both ways on gun control? She votes both ways on abortion. She votes both ways on everything.
Yes.
Nobody can trust Lisa Murkowski. She lies. She says one thing to us and does the opposite in Washington, D.C. She doesn't vote in Alaska's best interest. She's funded by dark money outside the state. So we see that a lot of our common sense Democrats are lining up behind our campaign because they know that they're going to actually get results and not rhetoric. Even if we don't always agree on everything, at least we know that we'll get things delivered for Alaska.
It's well said. It's an important day today in Alaska. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the votes are tallied, but it's not the end of it, this stupid system. It's kelly4ak.com. Is that right?
That's right. We could use your help. kelly4ak.com. Right. So we win.
Thank you, Kelly. Good luck. We're behind you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.